Hours after debate wound down, sleepy lawmakers are back on Capitol Hill ahead of a vote on the president's massive spending plan. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Today, Senate Republicans have to decide. Choose the American people or bow down to Donald Trump and his coterie of billionaires.
Jury deliberations are getting underway at music mogul Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The judge is really providing them with detailed jury instructions, like you have to find proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, say a gunman set a brush fire, then ambushed firefighters who responded, killing two of them. The suspect is dead as well. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Keep in mind, this was a wildfire as well that was going on, so they had to go and scoop up the suspect's body and kind of disturb the scene. They plan to go back there later on today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is the deadline for Wisconsin lawmakers to pass a new two-year state budget. If they don't, current spending levels remain, but that creates complications for municipalities drafting their own budgets. Shali Pittman reports.
The legislature's budget committee met again Friday night, over 12 hours after their planned 10 a.m. start. They skipped debates on major funding items, but did approve budgets for several state agencies.
With that, we are adjourned.
The meeting lasted just over an hour and followed a familiar pattern. Democrats proposed motions, Republicans voted them down, and then passed their own plans on party lines. But not without criticism. Here's Democratic Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee.
There is something wrong with the decisions that we are making in this body, and we aren't saving taxpayers' money the way that we like to claim that we are.
Governor Evers says he won't sign a budget that doesn't include funding for the state's child care program. Another major item, funding for the universities of Wisconsin, was pulled from the agenda. The committee also resolved a longstanding dispute by releasing $10 million to the Department of Public Instruction for early literacy coaching.
We want to help kids read, and we want to give schools the tools to be able to do that. And unfortunately, it's taken this legislature a tremendous amount of time to allocate the funds for that.
Democratic Rep. Tip McGuire from Kenosha. The money had been held up by a legal fight over the governor's veto powers. Mark Bourne co-chairs the Joint Finance Committee.
The reason for the delay was an unconstitutional veto by the governor, ruled unanimous, unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. And so we're glad that justice has been done, and we're here now with the proper accounts and able to do these.
If lawmakers hadn't acted on that funding by tonight, the funds would have lapsed back into the state's $4 billion surplus. For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. An isolated shower or storm this afternoon. Otherwise, expect partly sunny skies with highs near 80 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 60. On Tuesday, first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with highs near 80. Current temperature, 67 degrees.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Our head of production, Seth Habager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you all are having a great start to your week out there. We're going to kick things off the way we like to. We're going to get into some fun. Got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Got some other good ones we'll get into. We're going to talk a little bit about the 4th of July and some other things like that. And we'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour the way we like to with the kitchens open.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Beth will be joining us a little bit later. Should be a bunch of fun. Beth brought us a topic, too. That I thought we would have some fun with as well, you guys.
It's an interesting one, yeah.
We're going to get into that a little bit later. All of those things coming up for you. Get into our schedule. And a quick reminder to everybody out there that may have not known. Now, I will tell you, you would have known this before anybody if you signed up with and talked with Roscoe.
I don't like to name drop.
Oh.
But I do I do text with Roscoe, the from the rafters.
But step aside while I name drop.
Yeah, let me just everybody just
pick that up.
Clear some, get some police tape up, make sure there's a nice clear space here. And no, I am not dropping Conan or Robert Downey Jr.'s name. Okay. I'm dropping Roscoe's.
That's even cooler. This time. Pretty cool, actually.
Give it a half an hour. Yeah. but yes, if you sign up, if you go to northwoodsleague.com and you sign up with the rafters for their you know text line or the newsletter or anything, right away you might have found out that the game got, they called the game early yesterday.
They did. They did. Very quickly.
So that means we get an Ernie Banks special today. Let's play two. Pam is working very hard scheduling that right now for us. We appreciate you, Pam. We will. So that means, for one, we won't have a Playmakers this afternoon.
That's correct.
No Playmakers, just Wednesday show this week.
Yep.
But also, you know, that is going to be, our schedule is going to be a little different today.
Right.
But we do get two games of Rafter Baseball right here at WFHR for you today.
So. Yes, you do.
That's exciting. And yep. We'll get into the rest of our schedule. Throughout the week to this week, we'll be talking about Independence Day and building up for that in this area. We do a pretty good job of celebrating the 4th around here.
I think we do. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about
all those things. But it is summer. It is peak vacation time.
Yes.
But do you need a cool-cation?
A cool-cation.
A cool-cation. And this is not just an excuse for me to say cool-cation as much as I can.
It's a secret plan.
He found a new word.
I will let you all know that I already sent this to Terry. right away, I will let everybody know I already sent this to Terry Johns, CEO of your United Way, who joins us all the time. If you're already sweating just thinking about summer travel, you're not alone. But there is a new trend that might be perfect just for you. It is called a coolcation.
Okay.
It means skipping the heat and traveling somewhere with cooler temps in the summer. So places with mountains, lakes, forests, you know, for example.
Makes sense.
Don't go south.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go the opposite direction.
According to Google Trends, searches for cooler travel destinations are way up. People are supposedly swapping out Florida for Alaska and ditching desert heat for places like Canada and Iceland.
Okay.
And in fact, I don't think this is a little secret anymore. But for, I would say, almost 20 years now, it has been this secret of, like, in summer or especially during spring break, a lot of people are going to Iceland. A lot of people. It's a very America-friendly area. There's a lot of wonderful tourist places.
Lots of tourism there.
And,
yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's expensive.
Yeah. This is the only part of it I knew. I didn't know that part, Melissa, to be honest, how many people are doing. I just know that I'm hearing from a lot of people in the city that they're doing this, that this is the big thing. And it started, I knew it was a big deal when the last couple of spring breaks, I've heard people making plans to go there. And not like, you know, Key West or something.
Or somewhere in the down south, right?
Which was mind-boggling. I thought it was, because to be fair, I teach improv. I teach comedy. I thought it was a joke at first. I really did. I thought it was a
go to Iceland. What? Oh,
are we doing a bit?
That's valid. It's fine.
Teachers are always looking for chances to be like cool with the students. And like, oh, are you guys doing a bit? I'm in. Call me in. No? Oh, you're just talking? I should go.
Oh, you're being sincere here.
I should go. Now, it makes sense with extreme heat events becoming more common, and it's not just about comfort. Cooler spots often have fewer crowds this time of year.
Oh, okay.
Now, I love that this becomes a thing for like 20 years, and then, like, you know what? I want to get away from people. I'm going to Key West.
Yeah, exactly. Let's head down south again.
I'm going to Vegas. Yeah, it's just nice this time of year.
I like the heat. It's fine.
So you might need to jump on the coolcation trend if a breezy 70-degree getaway sounds more relaxing than roasting in overheated beach resorts and stuff.
Hey, man, I'm telling you.
Well, when you put it that way.
You know what? Perfect. You know what? We have got for people, Wisconsin here, in Minnesota and Michigan, Midwestern here, we could be that destination.
Yeah.
We've got these two giant air conditioners called Lake Superior and Lake Michigan, okay?
Exactly.
Go buy them, and you will be cooled off. I can guarantee you
that. Temperature drops like 20 degrees.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Cooler by the lake.
I don't think you're wrong. I think not only that, but I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for states, the Midwest states.
I think so, especially the up and the northern ones, right? Yeah.
Take advantage of this.
Absolutely.
You know, take advantage of this trend and offering your. Now, I do think that this anybody in the Midwest, most people in the Midwest hearing this, it's just kind of like, well, we don't get that many warm days. I'm not going to waste a single one of them. I'll put up with the I'm still of the mind it's hard for me to put up with or hard for me to complain about any weather, like honestly, well, any weather. It doesn't stop me from doing it, but at the same time a little guilty about
it's fine. It's fine, yeah.
And we're cheaper than Iceland, and we also true. Have our own fermented fish. It's not really fermented, but I mean it's soaked in lye and stuff like that. I mean, because that's a delicacy in Iceland, is like a rotten shark
yes.
fin.
I forget what it's called. It's got a really cool name though.
It does have a really cool name. And then you take a shot of like dark, some kind of vodka after it. Here you can have lutefisk and chase it with an old fashioned.
Oh, see, now we've got the makings of a whole thing here.
Right, we've got our own Iceland equivalent.
Yeah, that's right.
Pam, could
Wisconsin
you get
style?
Pam, could you get Travel Wisconsin on the phone? we've got
an idea. We've got an idea here.
All written up. We got it all done. No, thank you, Pam. Thank you.
It was a bit, Pam. It was a bit.
I shouldn't do that to her. I love you, Pam. I appreciate you so much. Pam's awesome. I'm sorry. So I like the idea of this for a lot of reasons. We're kind of joking about it, but honestly, you guys went right where my mind went before I had even finished this article. Hopefully, this past winter was a little bit better. I don't know why I said better. That way.
It's much better if you do it this way.
I don't know what that was.
Crazy Monday.
That's going to drive me crazy all day today. I don't know how exactly. I know it was a little bit better than it was the previous winter. I'm really thinking about two winters ago when we had no snow and it was just so difficult for our northern cities and everything. I think that here is a wonderful opportunity to be the new break for people. To Seth's point, what he was saying, but I would go a bit farther with this, and this is something that is not going to be popular with a lot of people. But I'm telling you, as a it's not just two faiths I grew up with. I grew up in two states, and I'm telling you, we need each other. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Midwest states should start advertising together.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Man, we have one of the great natural wonders around us, the Great Lakes, especially the big ones. There's so much fantastic scenery. If you've ever been like the South Shore of Lake Superior, the North Shore of Lake Superior, that is, I mean, gorgeous views. We're talking, people know about it, but I'm so with you, man.
There's beautiful hiking trails.
Yes, lots of great outdoors. So many,
Our states, the governors, the advertisers, the people in charge of marketing and all these things, they need to learn from our nonprofits. And where our nonprofits learned a long time ago, because they had to, that, hey, crabs in a barrel doesn't work. Why don't we work together? If we work together, look, all of a sudden we're all rising up. We all know how the economy has been for quite some time and how difficult some things can be. And yet I sit in this chair every day and I talk with nonprofits pretty much every day. And every event they're doing, every time that they are in need or they reach out to the community, we're seeing them showing up. We're seeing people step up, whether it is volunteering or it is with dollars or diapers food or any of these things. And our city is not different than most cities in America, most rural communities in America. I do the I look at this stuff. I'm curious in part because I want to be able to say, well, this our area is performing this well compared to Albuquerque or something like that. And yes, I threw in Albuquerque.
You just wanted to say Albuquerque.
Yeah, I did.
Are you Bugs Bunny?
Yes.
Albuquerque.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm a poor man's version of Bugs Bunny in many ways. In many, many ways. It's all across America. You're seeing this. Areas like ours. Not some better than others, but for the most part, communities are stepping up. Communities are showing up. Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason why I'm able to face every day and believe in people. because of this stuff that, you know, I don't just look at the national newspapers and the national headlines. I'm also looking at this from that angle, and I'm seeing people stepping up. So if I think states should take a page from that book and be like, hey, you know, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois, Wisconsin, all of these Midwest states, let's be the example to the union. And show. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we don't still have our rivalries. Obviously, we still have our rivalries in our sports. We have our jokes and all these things. That's part of what makes us Midwesterners.
Right.
But part of what also makes us Midwesterners is that I'll hold the door open for you, even if you have the opposite sports team on your jersey.
Exactly.
You have horrible taste, but I'm still going to hold the door open for you.
Courtesy is still alive on that thing. We're going to leave out Iowa, though, because who wants Iowa?
I didn't mean to.
I really didn't mean to do that. Actually, this is all part of my grand master plan, okay, to take all the surrounding states on Lake Superior, so like that the northern shore of Minnesota, the southern shore of Wisconsin, going up into the UP in Michigan, and turn it into a new state.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna make a new state. It's going to be called Superior, of course, because it's around Lake Superior. Perfect. Right? And I'm telling you. If we have to take climate change and look at the good sides of it now, because we're not doing anything about it. So this is going to be a popular area right around Lake Superior. I'm telling you,
embrace it. Yeah. The other thing, the other idea here is a Midwest passport.
Excellent.
The states will all participate in this Midwest passport, and they have like a road trip ideas of here, you travel from this place to this place in this state, you get a discount at this resort or this hotel, and you could do whole plans of people's, because road tripping is so, it's fundamental to America.
Yes.
And people love doing
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Yeah. And having already a planned out, like, you know, here's a guided tour of the Midwest on your own road trip
style. I mean, absolutely. Yep.
I love it.
100%, man.
Team bonding exercise right there. Three of us.
And then we're going to launch our own company.
That's right.
I could already tell you how this goes. The three of us go on a road trip. That next Monday show, it's just Melissa. It's just Melissa. It's all in one.
What happened to the other two? We best not speak of it.
We're not going
to
talk about that.
No, we're not talking about it.
We will talk about El Cafe. They're coming up on the birthday and anniversary club here at the morning show.
Have you heard the saying, we may be small, but we are mighty? This is exactly what the team at El Cafe in Port Edwards is, a small Mexican restaurant with big, big flavor, now featuring an extended room. Are you having breakfast with your church group, book club, or networking group? El Cafe has all the room you need. Don't forget excellent coffee, food, and homemade pies. El Cafe in Port Edwards, a little Mexican restaurant with a big heart for the community. Have your next get-together at El Cafe.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. An isolated shower or storm this afternoon. Otherwise, expect partly sunny skies with highs near 80 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 60. On Tuesday, first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with highs near 80. Current temperature, 67 degrees.
It's a celebration.
All right.
It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at El Cafe, the birthday and anniversary club. We encourage you to treat yourself tomorrow when they open their doors. They'll be open tomorrow for the week, everybody, so keep that in mind. You got today to go ahead and make some plans for what you want to order when they open those doors. You can go to elcafewi.com, check out their menu at their website. Encourage you, of course, to check out their Facebook page as well. Hope that story time with Miss Kathy McGrath went well this weekend. The Monarchs.
They did a butterfly release.
That is so cool.
Kathy's the best. We appreciate you, Kathy, and appreciate our friends at El Cafe. Get us those birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. You can email us info@WFHR.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
That's right, 715-424-2600.
Encourage you to use the Civic Media app if you got it, and text us if you'd like to as well.
Yep, exactly.
Diving into our list for today, man, you guys, I don't know the last time we had a Monday like this. One, two, three, four, five. Six possible qualifiers.
Wow. Ooh, nice.
Nice.
Pretty sweet. Pretty
popular
sweet.
Popular day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seth, give me a 1-6.
Five.
All right. Gives us that one right there. We get our qualifier so we can get it. All right. So first up, we want to wish a. I do want to remind everybody that we will be pulling the drawing tomorrow for the qualifier for June.
Oh, that's right. It's the first. Because half the year is over.
It's nuts.
Jeez.
Why did you say that, Seth?
I'm sorry. Crazy. I'm sorry. You know, it just boggles my mind.
I was already upset with you this morning, and now.
I can't stop thinking about it, to be honest. It's just, I don't know what happened to June. And there's something about, like, it's one thing in the winter, like, you almost, like or are thankful when a month goes flying by.
Yep.
In summer, it's not fair.
It's not.
I haven't even been really swimming isn't. Yet. I have not even gone, it's not fair. Half of summer's gone. It's not right. But we will be drawing our June winner tomorrow. Be listening for that, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
First up, want to wish you a very happy birthday to Civic Media's own Natacon. How do you say Natacon's last name?
I don't know. I just always call him Natacon. There's no other Natacon in the company. So
Pisidacool?
That's close.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful name. Mm-hmm. I've heard him say it before.
And he is fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't he?
Patience of a saint.
Yes.
Yes.
So patient.
Very good at his job. I'm really telling you. He makes the whole payroll thing so easy.
We have no weak links here at Civic Media, and I'm very proud to say that. I feel very good about saying that. I could not always say that. I feel very good about saying that. Right. He is one of the people I think of when I say that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If there's something
payroll is such a hard job.
Yes.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. We appreciate you. Have a good day, man.
Mm-hmm.
And we take a look at our local list here. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Lacey Nicole.
Happy birthday, Lacey.
Happy birthday, Lacey.
Lacey's great. We wish you a good one, Lacey. Enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to wish a very happy birthday to Alexis Johnson McNaughton.
Ooh, nice name. Alexis, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Enjoy the day, Alexis. We wish happy birthday to Jerry Klingforth.
Happy birthday, Jerry.
Happy birthday, Jerry.
Hey, happy birthday to Dave Urban.
Happy birthday,
happy birthday, Dave.
Enjoy your day, sirs.
Mm-hmm.
And a very happy 18th anniversary to Bo and Sandy Cepelina.
Oh, Bo and Sandy. Congratulations.
Happy anniversary. Yeah. 18 years.
Nice.
They've shared their anniversary with us for many years now and everything. I always think that those names sound so good together, Bo and Sandy.
They do.
That sounds like a really good day. Yeah. Yeah. And our qualifiers, let's all wish a happy 41st anniversary to Patrick and Kim Young.
Patrick and Kim.
Wow.
Congratulations. 41.
Happy anniversary.
Happy 41st, you two.
Yes, that's indeed.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
And you're our qualifiers. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Let's see who you're sharing your birthday with. Well, none other than, I feel like you can pretty safely say, the greatest Olympian of all time. Michael Phelps is 40 today.
Wow, 40.
Whoa. Certainly the most decorated Olympian of all time. Won 28 gold medals, 23 gold. One of my favorite pictures is him with all of his gold medals.
Oh, my God. How heavy is that?
And we got to live it. We got
I
to
see the whole thing.
Man. Oh, my God. I like swimming. It's one of the sneaky sports I enjoy. Mm-hmm. And part of what I like about it is that I understand it. And I've known a lot of swimmers that have really broken it down and the art of it to you and everything. And then you see a guy like Michael Phelps, and it's like, okay, well, how does this – some of what he is shouldn't work for swimming.
Right.
And then other parts of it are like, okay, this man was born in a lake. He was born to do this. It's
he's got webbed feet.
He is part fish.
Yes. It is something to be able to see, you know, Carl Lewis and so many of the great, the great Olympians that we've gotten to see.
Right.
And then there's him, who just, I don't know if I've ever experienced this as a sports fan, where my guy was going in, I'm like, we got this. It didn't matter if
it's very rare.
It didn't matter if it was relays or what it was. If Michael Phelps was out there, you felt confident as an American, we're winning this. We've got this.
Well, because 23 of his gold medals are more than double the count of his nearest rivals.
Yeah.
Which is just astonishing.
Yeah. Forgive me, I'm not remembering his name, but the great swimmer before him,
Mark Spitz.
So I was just about to say, well, nobody will ever break this or anything. But when Mark Spitz was doing what he was, yeah. nobody thought anybody would break what he did.
Yeah, that's right.
Happy birthday to 40th.
The greatest of all time. I think you're safe to say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Happy 41st birthday to Fantasia, the third American Idol winner. She had a run there. She had a moment.
She did. Wow.
Cole Swindell is 42, country singer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Molly Parker is 83. Maureen Robinson on Lost in Space and a good character actor.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Lost in Space.
Another good actor. Monica Potter is 54. Christina on Parenthood. She was Lori in Boston Legal. Oh. She was great in Patch Adams and some other stuff, too.
Very cool.
Phil Anselmo is 57, lead singer of Pantera, Down, and at least one or two other bands. I'm a big Pantera guy. I saw them
Busy Man.
Four or five times I saw them live. One of the greatest MCs I have ever seen and will ever see.
That's cool.
I don't think a lot of people, I don't even think he would think that or anything. But I'm telling you, that guy, anything you look for out of a great lead singer, anything you want to put your hat on as far as a showman or a guy that can make everybody in the audience feel like it was just them or any of these traits or anything. Phil has it in spades, man. I've seen very few people on stage that are more just natural. Like, that's what that guy's born to do.
Yep.
Just incredible.
He's an all-around entertainer.
And everything you hear on a record or a CD or whatever, it sounds even better live.
Cool.
Him and Dime, oh my God. Yes. It's not even necessarily my style of music. But they brought it out of me, man. A lot of fun, too. Very funny. Very funny guy. I didn't get to see Ali at his prime, but the greatest boxer I've ever seen. And maybe when I'm talking about athletes and greats, and we talk about Michael Phelps, the greatest at what they did. Michael Jordan at what he did and stuff. Mike Tyson, 59 years old today. And it's hard-pressed to say that you saw a better boxer in your lifetime if you got to see Mike Tyson fight.
You know, I looking back at where we've come with boxing, it has not. That was the last great moment, I would say, in boxing, because since then it has really. It's just not what it was in terms of popularity, in terms of all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's been kind of eclipsed by mixed martial arts and a few other things, right? So the sweet science is not what it was, but I do remember when Tyson was coming up and when he was winning and knocking people out in 17 seconds. It was something. And it was news for everybody. And that was, it looks like it was the last great great moment for boxing.
There was a time where a boxing headline could outrank football, baseball, basketball, anything.
The big fights, Foreman Ali, or any of them. Name all the ones from the 60s and the 70s.
This is the time of Jordan. This is the time of Michael Jordan and everything, and Tyson is even more popular than him.
Yeah.
As somebody who grew up in a boxing household with a boxer, studied boxing, all these things, the sweet science.
Mm-hmm.
People look at Tyson and they don't realize how intelligent he was.
Mm-hmm.
One of the smartest fighters in human history.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson was so good. So there's a couple of great stories of Tyson, of people talking trash and thinking they had Tyson's number and everything.
Sure.
And a couple of these fights, Tyson could have ended him in the second round. He didn't. He played with his food. He knew how to. He knew how to drag a match out so that everybody in the world would see this guy for what he was.
Hmm.
Like, Tyson had a respect for boxing. So there was a guy that fought Ali in his last fight, and Ali was just getting some money, and everybody knew it. And you should have taken it easy on him. But this guy saw a chance to make a name for himself and beat up on an old man. Tyson fought him next. And watch that fight, everybody. Tyson could have ended it in the first round. He didn't. He made that man, he punished that man for 10 rounds and just played with the guy. Mike Tyson had some horrible, horrible things in his past.
Yeah.
That should not be, taken lightly or anything like that. And he has owned. Mike Tyson has taken this and is now a Broadway star. Like, Broadway, he's famous on and everything. There are few human beings in human history that will have a more up and down and a more gray life than Mike Tyson.
More human life, I would say.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And I arguably the greatest fight, greatest right hand you'll ever see. Yeah. Incredible. Vincent D'Onofrio is 66 today. One of my favorite actors. I love Vincent D'Onofrio. Kingpin in the MCU, Daredevil, recently you've seen him. Mm-hmm. Famously Private Pyle in Full Metal Jacket.
Yep.
Head security in Jurassic World. Detective Gorin in Law and Order Criminal Intent. God, I love Vincent D'Onofrio.
The first Men in Black, the alien. Mm-hmm. He was really good in that.
Famous,
it was funny.
My dad always referenced that whenever I bring
yes,
him up.
Yeah.
A sneaky good movie that I think it's the Newton Boys. Him, Tom Hardy, Shia LaBeouf, based on a true story.
Yep.
He's so good in that movie. He's so wonderful in that movie. David Alan Grier is 69, in Living Color superstar, and had some other great roles as well.
Awesome, yes.
And wrapping up, people no longer with us, like Lena Horne, born in this day in 1917. Not only a legendary actress, singer, but civil rights activist. Stormy Weather. Oh, Stormy
Weather. That was
my
her signature.
Version of that.
Yep, signature song.
Also played Glinda the Good in The Wiz.
In The Wiz, yes. Yeah.
I want to go back and watch that movie because
it's good.
It's a good show. It's a good show.
Yeah. I love The Wiz. I love that one. Honestly, as a kid growing up, that was just as popular as The Wizard of Oz, where I was from.
That's cool.
They're just as popular.
Is that the like horror one though?
No,
The Wiz?
No.
It's
no. I'm thinking of The Return to Oz.
Yeah. You're thinking of.
The Wiz, you got Diane Ross in that, and Michael Jackson. You got a bunch of young
that one I've
that
never
one
seen.
Stuff. Yeah. Oh, you should see that one, Liz. Melissa, I think you'd like that.
It's a
one.
Good one. Yeah.
Okay.
And Florence Ballard, born on this day in 1943, one of the original Supremes.
Yes, she was.
And that's going to do it for our birthdays and anniversaries. But we got plenty of time for tomorrow. And keep in mind, tomorrow we're drawing our June winner.
Woo!
Whoop whoop!
Qualifier, I should say.
The winner from the qualifiers. Yes.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Okay, James. 30 days, you say qualifier, so you're allowed.
We will be back after our news, sports, and entertainment break. Everybody will have some fun. We're going to talk a little bit about the 4th of July, and I've got a good one here about patriotic states. What's the most patriotic state in America?
All right.
America. We are coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Average gas prices fell 7.3 cents over the last week, landing at $2.96 in the state today. This is 1.5 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and over 30 cents lower than this time last year. Gas Buddy's Independence Day gas price forecast projects the national average price to fall to $3.15 on July 4th. This would be down nearly 35 cents from last year's national average and the lowest Independence Day average since 2021. Gas Buddy officials say if tensions in the Middle East remain contained and the U.S. avoids a major hurricane, the national average could fall below $3 at some point this summer. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.81 to $2.87 per gallon. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced another year of decreased tobacco and vape sales to underage customers. Lisa Hale has more.
According to a DHS report, the rate of tobacco and vape sales to underage customers dropped nearly 2% from 2023 to 2024. Agency officials say the jump in underage tobacco and vape sales aligned with raising the federal legal tobacco sales age from 18 to 21 in 2019. Prior to that change, the underage sales rate was about 5.5% and jumped to over 14% in 2021.
A note of caution as we approach the Independence Day celebrations. Fireworks are a hallmark of the day, but every year thousands of children end up in the emergency room with fireworks-related injuries in the U.S. According to Aspirus Hospital doctors, the most important safety strategies include making sure that children are supervised by a designated adult at all times, keep spectators at a safe distance, and never use fireworks while impaired by alcohol or drugs. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
A new deal for Bobby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Milwaukee Bucks offering Bobby Portis Jr. a 3-year contract extension worth $44 million. Portis asks why he's grateful Doc Rivers is his head coach.
You know, sometimes you get put in a box and not get to display what you can really do.
So I'm thankful for Doc just letting me just play ball and just letting the game come to me, and it's been easier to go out there and just play the game the way I know how to play.
Meanwhile, Kevin Porter Jr. has declined the Bucks' offer to stay in Milwaukee and is instead headed to free agency. Baseball. Brewers have the day off. They travel to New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The Crew losing in extra innings yesterday to the struggling Colorado Rockies, 4-3. Not enough production at the plate, said Pat Murphy.
We had three hits through the ninth inning, I believe, and one was a bloop and one was an infield hit. We had four hits and two homers that were timely and great. More and more, we couldn't finish the job.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How do actors cope with being part of a really dark horror film? Violet McGraw and Allison Williams, stars of Megan 2.0, made themselves happy when the cameras weren't rolling by singing Taylor Swift songs. The 37-year-old Williams and 14-year-old McGraw are both Swifties. McGraw, who plays Williams' niece in the film, says the two bonded due to the dark material, and the way they ended up coping with it was by pretending to be Taylor. Megan 2.0 is rating fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and is currently in theaters. If mystery and horror isn't your thing, how about mystery and comedy? Peacock's remake of the 1989 Tom Hanks film The Burbs is gaining steam. The reboot is not a movie, but rather a series, and the cast is headlined by Kiki Palmer, whose credits include Nope and the recent surprise hit One of Them Days. Palmer is also executive producing. If you're feeling nostalgic for the movie, you might dig the show, as it is filmed on the same street on the Universal backlot as the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Boot Barn, we believe the cowboy boot is the foundation for a life well lived. We work, we raise, we break bread, and tomorrow it starts again. This life requires a boot that supports perseverance. Ariat boots undergo 150 steps to ensure performance. Boot Barn carries over 250,000 Ariat boots nationwide, because out west, tenacity is second to none. Ariat at Boot Barn.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. An isolated shower or storm this afternoon. Otherwise, expect partly sunny skies with highs near 80 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 60. On Tuesday, first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with highs near 80. Current temperature, 67 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. 97.5 FM, WFHR on your radio dial. Or your streaming service. Or your Civic Media app.
That's right.
Something like, you should just be on your dial, you know, just to be able to say that.
Yeah, put them all on there now.
Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Hope your Monday is going smoothly. An annual study ranked the most patriotic states in America by looking at 13 different factors, like voting rates, how many veterans and active members of the military are there, jury duty participation, civic education, and how many people volunteer for things like Army Corps.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So not a
wide variety of things, yeah.
Not a perfect list or anything like that. And I'm going to be honest, I don't want to start any fights here or anything. You got the 4th of July coming up this weekend. Yeah. And I thought this is a fun topic for that and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that every state has plenty of patriots in it. Absolutely. And plenty of people that care. And I think you're hard-pressed to find anybody who isn't proud and happy to be in this country for various reasons, or it maybe just some.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
This year, the 10 most patriotic states are Virginia, Montana, Vermont, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, North Dakota, Maryland, Minnesota, and New Hampshire.
Wow.
Interesting spread.
Yes, I like that.
Not a real pattern. Just
there is no pattern. No.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of like Northwest states in there.
Mm-hmm, yep. Oregon, Washington, right? Yeah. And we got, Northeastern, we got Vermont in there, Virginia. That makes sense, you know. Kind of a famous kind of state, a, you know, for the early part of our country's history, right?
Virginia being right at number one did seem a little bit out of the nose.
Yeah, it does, a little bit. Yeah. So
Coming in last this year is Arkansas, followed by New York, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, Texas, Indiana, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and West Virginia.
Okay. So Virginia is up there. West Virginia is not. That's funny.
That's kind of funny. And could you go? Could you see a bigger swing than Arkansas to New York?
I mean, but, wow. Yeah. Seriously.
At the 1 and 2 spots there, that's pretty. That's a pretty big swing, right?
It is. Yeah.
They did not include Washington D.C. in the count.
Right.
So keep that in mind. And overall, and I really distaste these terms, blue states and red states. I get so sick and tired of these terms and everything.
I'm with you on that.
Guess what, everybody? If you live in a red state, you got blue people.
You got lots of blue people.
And you got blue people. A blue state, you got plenty of red people in there.
Stop making that a category.
It's all. All it does is divide us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All it does is divide us.
Yeah.
And I'm done with things that divide us. Overall, blue, quote unquote, blue states are more patriotic than red states, at least according to how they voted in last year's presidential election blah, blah, blah. And the two states that are dead center in the patriotism ranks are South Carolina and Wisconsin.
Really?
You will not find two more different states than South Carolina and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I have a good knowledge of both states, and it's like, no, those are very different. Very different.
And I do think that as far as just speaking, and I've spent a lot of time, I shouldn't say, I spent a couple months in the Carolinas.
Right, yeah.
But I will say that, I agree with you, Seth, on that, but also that it's not surprising to me to see Wisconsin ranked.
Right in the middle? Yeah.
Right in the middle.
Me too.
Right
me
in the
too,
middle.
Yeah.
Nobody's shocked there that Wisconsin, which is a very purple state and has been for a long time, you can go back multiple presidential elections and see that we are all oftentimes that beacon for that. And just as far as the exact numbers here, Wisconsin ranked 26th, right behind North Carolina and South Carolina.
Okay. Sandwiched by the Carolinas. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think that's too surprising.
No,
really, when
it's
it comes
not.
Down to it.
I like it.
But it is also something I think that more and more, and please understand, I am not trying to speak for Wisconsinites here, but it does seem like more and more Wisconsinites are taking pride in that. Regardless of where you vote politically, you're taking pride in the fact that Wisconsin is a purple state.
The idea that it's become, and maybe for good and bad, like a bellwether of the country as a whole in a lot of ways. I don't know. Now, I'm not saying it should be or anything like that, but it seems to have become that way. Yeah.
During several of the last election cycles.
It has. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as goes Wisconsin, goes the rest of the country, right?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So,
well, and you know, there's something to be said too for being an example of
for good or bad,
right?
Exactly. The whole gamut,
Well, and I talk to people in a lot of different states, and I don't think that there is we're out of the norm here of being tired of the divisiveness. Mm-hmm. It's one of the first things. The last two presidential, not just presidential elections, last two elections. It's one of the overall things we've heard is people asking of their politicians, no matter who you're voting for, hey, we're tired of the finger pointing. Hey, we're tired of the whining. Mm-hmm. Like
tired of not getting anything accomplished.
Right.
There are certain politicians that the moment they open their mouths, all I hear is whining. All I hear is womp, 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 only in a whining sense. And I'm done. And we're not alone in that.
Yeah.
And that's just in this state, let alone in others.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of that to go around. I don't think that it's everything in life, whether we're talking about fashion, music, or politics, they go in ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are more and more getting into a time of, hey, wherever you're voting, that's fine. Or wherever your beliefs are, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Just don't be divisive. Don't be whiny. Don't try to separate me from my fellow Americans. Mm-hmm. All right? That's what
good
sports
way of putting
is for.
It.
Yeah.
I like that take. Don't separate me from my fellow Americans. That's a really good line. And I think that's something people should think more about.
And this, I will say this doesn't come from me. This comes from being partially raised by military members.
Mm-hmm.
Where it wasn't, you think that in my grandparents', my grandfather's platoons, that they all agreed on everything? that they all they all voted for the same person, or they all, you know, had the same favorite sports team or anything like that. No.
No.
But they fought together.
They sure did.
And they were
they
a unit.
They trusted each other with their lives.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That's how we should be approaching this. We can vote for different things. We can root for different sports teams and all of this, but we cannot not have each other's back.
That's right.
Right.
We cannot
Go ahead.
We cannot let anybody divide us.
Yeah, and lose the sight of we the people have the power.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's very important.
Mm-hmm. We will take a quick time
I feel out. Very patriotic now.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Ooh, did we move Wisconsin up then in the rankings?
Did we did.
Yeah, we did. Just from that conversation. Cool.
Just said, cool. Take that, North Carolina.
Yeah, we just moved ahead to the Carolinas. Be back after this.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. An isolated shower or storm this afternoon. Otherwise, expect partly sunny skies with highs near 80 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 60. On Tuesday, first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with highs near 80. Right now, it's 69 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Got into the James Brown a little bit there. I was like, hope y'all are having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We're going to take it to the top of the hour, kick off the 10 o'clock hour, some CBS News, an update from Melissa, and of course, the kitchen's open with Beth.
Yeah!
Got a good one for you lined up today. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to diving into that. That'll be fun. And then after that, more Beth. Beth threw a great article to me, and she thought, hey, this would be really fun for you guys on the morning show. I'm like, well, why don't you stick around? We'll do it right after Kitchen's Open.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one.
So we will get into 20 old school sayings we still love and what they actually mean.
Ooh, ooh, that's nice. Good. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Beth knows her audience. Beth, she knew exactly. Yes. That's a good one. Yeah. We'll get into that later. Looking forward to it. But right now, how much does the average 4th of July cookout cost?
Okay.
The American Farm Bureau Federation released its annual report on the cost of an average 4th of July cookout, and it's actually down a tad from last year, but not much to move the needle, that is.
So basically, it's the same, basically.
Right,
yeah.
Right. The average, quote-unquote average, backyard barbecue for 10 people will cost $70, or technically $70.92. That is down 30 cents from last year, and just over $7 per person.
Okay. That's not bad at all, actually.
$7.
I can handle that.
That surprises me.
Yeah.
Okay, I was surprised by that too, Melissa. For me, I was surprised that it was that low. Were you surprised?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I'm with you too. Yeah, totally.
Because, I mean, I don't know if each of us were paying for ourselves going to a fast food place, I don't know if it would cost less than that.
Heck no.
No, I didn't
you
think
can't,
so.
You, yeah, yeah, you so. Can't get a meal at a fast food place for less than $10.
Very close, yeah.
Yeah.
They say inflation and lower availability for some stuff has kept prices stubbornly high.
I'm
also curious of what they are all including.
Yes.
You know, because
let's look at the raw data.
Does it include buying the condiments for said meal?
That's fair.
Does it include and if so, then yes, the cost is going to be lower with more people. Because
right.
you're buying in quantity.
That's true. Very true.
If I want to have a cookout for two people, it's going to cost me more than $7 per person.
That's right.
Getting into the little bit of the article, you can go to fb.org to find that. They're talking a little bit about specifically talking with farmers, and that their share of food retail dollar is just 15%, and that that is down. Just as an example, the retail price of 2 pounds of ground beef has increased 4.4%, similar with pork and beans.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah.
So, but just touching on these, because it sounds like they included them in the meal, and just touching on what Melissa's saying there, but I think that's a really good point. If you're just doing burgers and dogs, it might cost even less. And if you're doing ribeyes, obviously more.
Obviously.
You have a very happy guest, though.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever been to a fancy barbecue. I don't know.
Ribeye, whoa. Yeah,
you got to wear a tie to this barbecue. You got a valet.
Yeah. I feel underdressed.
I kind of almost want to see like a fancy barbecue. I want to see somebody try to pull that off.
And then the kids all run out with the water balloons.
Right.
Yeah.
Trying to do anything. Like, have you ever seen somebody try to eat ribs, quote unquote, properly? Like, you know, like delicately
or
something?
Yes, actually, I have. There's this videos that are these like British young men going around to and trying American food.
Oh my gosh.
And they're at this barbecue place and they have a fork, and the server comes over. He's like, okay, hold on. Sorry. Just pick it up with your hands. Because they have like a fork and a knife, and they're like, how do we even?
Oh my God.
Like, let me help you, boys.
They offended the servers. How dare they?
No. And he was trying to be nice.
Oh, I'm sure.
He was
yeah.
nice about it.
I have to watch like, that.
Oh my God.
And then they bit into the ribs, and you should have seen their faces. They're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like,
this is amazing.
It's so tender.
Yeah.
Hi.
I love ribs.
Fantastic.
There are few foods that bring out the carnivore, like caveman in me, like ribs do. Like,
James is chomping on the bones.
When they're good. Mm-hmm. I've had some ribs that were like, you know, this is like trying to gnaw beef jerky off a bone. I didn't.
I think of my grandfather made some amazing ribs. I think actually still the best ribs I've ever had are still the type my grandfather made.
Nice.
And it was a big deal to him that we ate them. You couldn't have any utensils on the table. They were banned. My grandmother, though, God, I miss her. I love her. There was nothing dainty about this woman, but it was almost kind of like that.
Ate them, yeah.
She was just such a classy person and everything. Mm-hmm. Somehow, the only person I ever saw eat ribs. Like,
meticulously. See,
yeah.
This is my dilemma with ribs. I don't like messy food. Okay? Mm-hmm. But I love ribs because they're fantastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it makes me feel weird every time I eat them.
It's a quandary for you.
It is. It is.
So I'm a little like that. I'm not big on messy food or mess in general. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things since I was a little kid with ribs where I'm like, okay, I'm taking a break from that for this. This is worth it for
setting that
totally
aside.
Worth it.
Yeah. For some reason, like with ribs, I'm able to do it. I'm able
you
to break away.
You just need more paper towels or napkins, boys.
I know.
And maybe a bib, and you're fine.
The 12 items they factor in. Okay, so they do have a bit of a list here.
Okay, all right.
Ground beef, chicken, pork chops, buns, cheese, potato salad, pork and beans,
okay.
Potato chips, cookies, ice cream, strawberries, and lemonade.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
That's a big list.
Well, that is. Okay.
You're feeding 10 people, though. I mean, that's what they based it on, so.
I know, but how is that $7 per person? Okay, for contrast, I bought food for a cookout for two people yesterday.
Okay.
It consisted of burgers.
Okay.
Corn on the cob.
Mm-hmm.
I bought buns.
Okay.
And two sparkling waters.
Okay.
That was $25.
Ooh.
So $12.50 per person.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't even include the half a watermelon I brought with me from home.
Wow. Mm. Okay. I don't know.
And chips. I did buy a bag of chips, too.
Okay.
You know, I
must be the bulk thing. That's got to have something to do with it.
That's why I'm thinking. Yeah. It's got to be that.
It's got to be.
It could be. Either way, I do think that, I do think that it's nice to...
I was trying to think of the right word. Nice isn't the right word. But it's almost comforting to see that the prices haven't changed that much.
In a year, right, yeah.
Just with the amount of conversation that has been taken up about inflation and et cetera, you would think that this list, it would be $50 higher than it was last year and everything. Yeah. I think that's, you know, interesting. It also speaks to what we've been talking about since the first time somebody rambled about any of this in the last year or so and everything. Mm-hmm. That's the economy. That's how it works. Mm-hmm. That's how it's always worked. This is not shocking to, you know, if you've paid 5 seconds of attention to the economy more than once. Don't take your advice about the economy from politicians.
Because they're going to spin it one way or the other. Yeah either they, if they're in power, it's good, right?
You're better off taking it from a five-year-old. They're at least
going to point at this chart.
They're going to be more optimistic, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
It'd be more honest, probably.
Tell me about the price of candy. Has that gone up? No.
And then, you know, the one essential thing you forgot on that grocery list, if you're five, are popsicles.
Yeah.
I mean, popsicles, well, they're cheap, though. You can make your own, too.
That's true.
Flavored water.
Fair, also be fair, there was enough food left over yesterday that we could have fed one more person. So if it was three people eating, that would have been $8.30 per person.
That would have tapped down the cost a little bit. I think you're on the right track. Yep.
Yeah.
You're on the right track, yeah.
I immediately now want MSNBC, Fox, all of the political big stations to fire everybody on their network and just hire kids. I just want kids covering politics now.
Mm, kids president. Yeah.
I just
AI is already doing that for us.
No. Oh, kids would be better than AI.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, totally. Yeah. But I know. But they're turning. Yeah. Never mind.
Are they turning like children? AI like children.
A new poll found most of us always will appreciate a clap.
A little applause. Okay.
Okay. I'm glad that's the way you went with it.
If you're at a concert and it's not good, do you still clap at the end?
Oh, what?
Or a show or anything live.
Right. Wow.
It'd have to be real bad.
It would.
And if it was that bad, then it would be comic, comedic. So you'd be clapping anyway. I think you always clap.
So along with that, and this new poll found most of us always will. Mm-hmm. We'll always clap because it's polite and expected. Mm-hmm. But some of us are stingier with it. 60% of Americans will clap no matter what. But 31% said no, you have to earn their applause.
Wow. That's a lot of people. Man.
Another 7% said that they're not sure if they're an automatic clapper or not. And 2% of Americans claim they never clap at the end of shows.
They don't go to shows, apparently.
Their hands. Those
people have been to every show
or
I've ever done.
They have arthritis.
One in four Americans admit that they've given someone a round of applause when they didn't really want to. They just felt pressured into it. For example, have you ever reluctantly joined in on a standing ovation? And it's like, really, we're doing this? Like,
yeah, me? Yes.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that applause is always appropriate, I think. Just if nothing else, for the effort. You know, if they didn't put the effort, what are they doing? But, you know, even if it's not good, you know, people took the time out to do the thing and whatever. So I'm like, applause is that. But I do believe personally that the standing ovation has been way diluted. Way diluted.
That you're right, Seth. Good call, Seth. Good call.
Thank you, James.
Somebody had to say it.
Finally.
Stand up, Melissa. Stand up, Melissa. Absolutely right.
Nope. See, she won't give me a standing ovation.
I'm not gonna.
See, and you know, that's cool. I can live with that. But no, seriously, I do think that is a bit overused.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. But applause always.
So I will say I always applaud after a show, after anything, whatever I've seen live, if it's, you know, whatever it is, I've always applauded afterwards. But there is a different type of clapping. There's a, you know, just being polite,
the golf clap, right?
And then there's when you're really getting into it. Like I beat my, I just I smashed the heck out of my
and
hand.
Do some woos, you know, if you hear the woohoos and stuff like that. Yeah.
I think that's more of what we do. I was interested in this, and I was asking one of our students last night about it, and she is actually, I want to say she's somewhere outside of London. They don't really do that a lot in other countries. Like, you really got to earn it.
I'm not surprised.
They will sit there, and if it's a bad show, it's dead silent afterwards.
The hisses and the boos come to...
She was saying that she went to a show once that was very well received. Everybody was talking. It had a really big crowd and all that. At the end, you could hear the actors' like shoes scraping on the stage.
Oh, dear.
Because it was so quiet.
They were stunned. That's what it is. They were just amazing. Yes. No.
I don't know. I don't know if they, how it is all around the world or anything. Right. But here in America, there is such a level of... You know, I don't want to, like, a pressure we put on ourselves. Mm. I don't know if it's a, we call it a societal pressure, but I don't know that society is necessarily standing over us, waiting for, are you going to clap? You're going to clap? Like, I really feel like it's more in our own heads and with a collective body and somewhat of a mob mentality to that.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Because just read what I just said about the standing ovation. Even if I don't think it deserved it and people stand up, I'm still standing up. I mean, I'm not saying I'm denying. I'm going to be a grump and be like, no, you know.
Especially, you don't want to be the one person that's not standing.
What's wrong with them, right? And that's completely societal pressure. I will put that out there.
Well, and what Melissa was saying before, what I think was noteworthy too, about, hey, well, what if everybody's standing, but this one person has a bad ankle and they can't stand or something like that?
Right.
And that's why they are. But everybody in that room thinks, oh, this person doesn't care about
this. They're just a jerk.
This person, what a jerk he is. Yeah. You see, he didn't stand for it. That's something that we do too, that we shouldn't be doing. And this idea of thinking that we always know what's in somebody else's head or heart.
Right.
We don't. Nine times out of ten, we don't.
And the fact that we don't go see live performances like we used to, when it was more important whether or not it was good or bad, right? We just don't do it as much as a society anymore.
Should applause be earned, though? Like, it should? Like, just being honest about it. I mean, is it really, like, asking that much, you know what?
You need to ask Beth.
Either way, it doesn't seem like it's asking that much.
Beth has seen the truly horrible performance on a show. Mm-hmm. So she's the one to ask, because I don't remember what she did with it, but...
I don't know. I feel like it's okay to always clap.
I'm on board. I'm on board.
You know, what type of clapping that is. We'll be back.
Unlike Melissa, who's just a sourpuss all the time.
She's very, very, very cranky.
Yeah, I never clap at anything.
We'll be back with more show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Senators are back on Capitol Hill to debate and try to amend President Trump's tax and spending package. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This bill, as we have said for months, steals people's health care, jacks up their electricity bill, takes away their jobs.
Majority Leader John Thune.
It is rich to hear Democrats all of a sudden concerned about debt and deficits. Really?
Passengers cheered after a Disney cruise ship crew rescued a little girl who fell overboard off Fort Lauderdale, along with her father, who jumped in to try to save her. Officials in Idaho say a gunman set a brush fire on purpose and killed two firefighters who responded. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Behind me, it is a little bit of hazy because, remember, this all came in as a call for a wildfire. It's at 20 acres. And it's still burning.
The gunman dead at the scene. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.